Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking your calls and doing what I love, helping you through any sex or relationship question you may have. Topics include what you should be asking your partners to ensure the best sex possible, lubes for even the most sensitive of skin. Yeah, sleepgasms are great, but how do you get some while you're awake, and how to put yourself out there and feel confident doing it? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can easily subscribe to the podcast, check out our amazing blogs and posts we have going on to help you have better sex. The other thing is, you guys, there are so many ways to listen to podcasts now. You can check it out on Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, of course, iTunes, SoundCloud. There's a lot of different ways. What we love, too, is if you happen to be in iTunes or wherever you're listening, to be honest, so great if you can review it. It just takes a few seconds. Give us 5 stars if you're into that. And tell your friends, too. Love it. We appreciate that so much. It really makes a difference to get the word out there. You can follow us everywhere at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And so do that. It's fun. And you guys, today is 9/11, and I just want to kind of mention that. And, you know, I know a lot of people lost loved ones on that day. And there's just, it was a really one of the saddest days I could remember in my lifetime being an American. And I was thinking, I was actually in New York a few weeks ago, and I was there just, I had to set a stop over there. And I realized that I saw the memorial for the first time, and they really built a spectacular memorial. I'd never been there, where they rebuilt the World Trade Center and has all the names of everyone who died. And there's like these waterfalls, and it's really a beautiful memorial dedicated towards all the lives that were lost. You know, like you never forget where you were when certain things happened. I was actually in New York on 9/11. I was staying at a friend's house in the Village, and she was out of town. I was there with my boyfriend, and we just started hearing all these fire engines going, and it was like 9 a.m, and I was leaving that day to fly back to San Francisco, where I was living. And my friend called me in Chicago, and she said, I know you're staying at Jen's house. You know, turn on the news, because I was still sleeping, because I think we were out late the night before. And we saw it. We saw the, you know, the towers go down. We went on the roof. We actually, what we saw them going down and the planes fly into them. And then went on the roof and actually saw the towers fall, like just not very far from where we were staying. I just got chills talking about this. And I just remember that day we ended up staying in New York for another week because we couldn't fly. And I just remember just everyone coming together and helping everybody and like the environment in New York and just everywhere. We were really about supporting each other, and everyone kind of took a break from all their, you know, pettiness and everything else we worried about. And you realize just how precious our lives are and how much we can really be there and help everyone. And everyone was just helping everybody. There was people walking up with like soot from the World Trade Center, like the trains weren't running, you couldn't get on the subway. And it was really just a sad day for America and for the world. So I was just thinking about that. And so my heart goes out to people who this day also means something. I think to all of us, it really does. It's a memory of appreciating every day that we have, because literally, like, I've always heard, like, you know, just live every day like it's your last and think about the good things and being grateful. And I know it's hard when you're like stuck in traffic or someone pisses you off. But the truth is, all we really have is this present moment and the people in our lives. And just, you know, call someone right now when you think about this after the show. Tell me you love them, why you appreciate them. These little words go a long way and they make you feel better and they make everyone else feel better as well. So just wanted to mention that. And now we're going to go into some sex in the news. And I want to invite my deputy Jamie here. Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Let's talk about this. Questions to ask your partner for the best sex possible. Okay, I really like this because this is the thing. So I get a lot of press requests every week, meaning journalists contact us and they're like, can you quote, give you some quotes on this? And we say yes to a lot of them. We spend a lot of time here answering press requests because I really enjoy helping you guys and I love doing it in writing form. I love talking about it. But this one was great because I'm all about having better sex. And it was just, they talked to myself and a few other experts. And so let me just break it down for you. If you need some reminders, it has some interesting tactics in here you might not have thought of, because I think we all want to get to the point where we are just as satisfied as we can be and our partner satisfied and we're all celebrating great sex.
Exactly.
So the first thing I want to say is that we all assume that sex should be amazing and magical every time we have it without saying a word. Like, if you got to the point of talking about sex, you should probably just break up, or there's a problem, or why isn't sex always amazing? It should be all the time. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show, great sex takes work and excellent communication. And our partners are not mind readers. We're not mind readers. So the only way we're going to get to it is if we talk about it. So here's sample questions that they had. They talked to myself and a few others, like I said, that could improve your sex life, that you could talk to your partner. Remember, if you ask the questions, you also get to answer the questions. And it's a great way to start the dialogue. So the first one, what turns you on? So that might seem super general, you know, but I think just saying, babe, what really turns you on the most will not let you know what they like, but it can keep the conversation where you're like, wow, you know, maybe you didn't know that they got turned on by watching fireworks. Well, you'll make sure that you make the 4th of July a really special event. That's a weird example, but you know what I'm saying? Or you didn't know that sunsets, you would make sunsets part of your thing, or the way you whisper in their ear.
You know what I think is actually interesting about this question is I do kind of feel like if you have like close friends, this may be something that you're like, so like, what is a turn on for you, or something you talk about, but it's not necessarily something you ask your own partner, right? Which I find really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. We don't think that, I don't know, we can, or because people don't want to talk about sex, but this made me want to go home and like ask.
Yeah. Like what turns you on?
What does turn you on?
I mean, obviously, hopefully your partner says you, but also other things.
Right. Exactly. Like have them get specific, like, or when was that time you remember being really turned on, or what was it? Or that's a good one. Okay. So how about this one? How do you like to be touched? So the reason why I like this is because, I don't know, personally, I've suffered a lot of bad touch. Not because they were mean people or they were wrong. I just didn't know how to tell them that, like, when they're aggressive or when they're, like, not, you know, when they're aggressively touching me, like, I would have loved to tell them, and now I do, obviously, that I like soft, slow feather touches. I'm most likely not going to, you know, maybe I want aggression sometimes, but I don't know what other kind of, like, slapping or really aggressive, I don't know. Like, not during sex, but during sex, they might be being warmed up.
Yeah, like don't go straight to like being super aggressive. Like work your way there. Sometimes you don't even need it. I like aggressiveness, but that's why someone might be gentle with me, and I'm like, no, be rougher.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. They might be like, well, I like how you touch me most of the time. Exactly. It opens up other things. So this doesn't have to just be for being turned on. I was thinking about the light feather touches because I'm like, no. Sometimes I would break this out and say, I like when you use your fingertips or you use your mouth to touch me. That feels great. But during sex, I like when you touch me this way. So it can kind of open it up to a lot of different areas of sex. And it's also a great way to set boundaries. Like, I like when you touch big places. Like, I like when you touch me here, but when you touch my stomach, that really makes me uncomfortable. Like, I have friends who are like, they never want their stomach touched. My friend in college, where she's like, I just can't stand it. Like, it gives me these tickles and these weird things. And then she'd have anxiety when she was with someone. And it wasn't like she was about her body image. Like, she really just, something about her made her uncomfortable. So it's a good time to
ticklish, that's like a real thing, because there are some people that just certain parts of the body, they're just like so unbelievably ticklish that like you might accidentally get kicked in the face or something.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Let them know. How do you like to be touched? Where do you be touched? This could go elsewhere. Here's another way to put it, you guys. Another question. What can I do to make you feel good? So think about it. What if you, I mean, now I'm thinking, okay, Jamie, what if I was your boyfriend and I said, what can I do to make you feel good?
Okay, this is good. So I would say I want you to compliment me more. Mm-hmm. You know, I want, especially like before sex, you know, just throughout whenever you see me, I'm never going to not want you to compliment me. So if you feel like you have a thought like, oh, she looks really good, tell me that.
Right. Stop that barrier. Whatever's making you not say you look hot, tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, too, it's like during sex, like I need you to look, like I need to feel when you look at me or when you're in the moment that you think I'm like the hottest thing in the world, because that's going to make me feel amazing and get more into it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be this giant back and forth of being amazing and feeling amazing.
Yeah. That's good. See, now you can go home and have this conversation.
I know. I should
practice here. You should.
I'm just going to like go home and be like, hey, babe, and then just play this part.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I know. Really. You should. Seriously. You should. Yeah. I like this too, because I think, well, because what I like about this too, and I will answer your question, is that, because even what makes you feel good, when you said that thing about compliments, it doesn't have to just be about sex. It could be like, I feel really good when you're on time. It turns me on when you make plans for dinner, like that I'm not always thinking about where to go. Even though we're talking about sex, again, this could lead you down a path to know what makes you feel good. God, what makes me feel good? Everything. Same thing. You know, I'm a huge compliment hoarder. I love them. I love compliments. I love touches. I like making out. I love massage. Mm. I mean, swear to God, like that makes me get, I think that massage is so underrated, because maybe people, not underrated, but under practiced. Because I think people think they need to have like a massage table and all these lotions and potions, and really just, it slows down your nervous system. It reduces anxiety. I just like, you know, that's what makes me feel good. Saying nice things to me, bringing me chocolate. Okay, what kind of touch do you not feel comfortable with? Now, this is something that I'm trying to think right now how I would answer that. But for some people, they might be like, you might ask this question too, because in your brain, you're like, I do not like the way my partner touches me. So you're allowed to say, ask them a question that you actually want to answer yourself. Because again, this goes both ways. So you could ask your partner and say, let's have some fun and talk about sex. What are you what touch do you like and what aren't you comfortable with? Like if they don't really answer, they don't know, say, well, what don't you like? I'm trying to think what I don't like. I'm trying to think if there's anything I feel like everything, I like variety. So to me, what wouldn't I like? Yeah,
I mean, I guess you could you could say something like, you know, it doesn't really feel good to me when you can tell that like I'm dry somewhere, but you keep going at it. So grab some lube. Like that's the thing. Like I feel the same way. Like I've told my partner, I'm like, I feel like I don't jerk you off correctly if I don't have any lube. And he's just like, well, I can't even jerk myself off correctly if I don't have any lube. So I'm like, okay, because that's what I'm saying. You know how sometimes in the morning, and so I'm thinking, I'm like, I got to have lube by me so that that way if I want, because I,
you know. Can you please get a nightstand in your new home?
I am.
Jamie's moving finally into her own place with some friends, and she's never had a nightstand. I legit want to buy, can I buy you a nightstand?
I mean, if
my dream is a lube on every nightstand. For real, I'm always saying, I said it on the podcast, lube on every nightstand is my dream. So, and I was like, Jamie, just put on your nightstand. Once you're like, I don't have a nightstand.
It's true.
I know. Well, you will.
I will. As no,
we can find you one.
Disclaimer, apparently.
That make me feel, you can think about when you go to bed. Just kidding.
Yeah. It's apparently, it's an adult thing to not have one side of your bed against the wall.
Yeah, like, that's true, too.
You have to have both sides accessible. Mm-hmm. And so I will officially, I guess, become an adult once my new room,
exactly,
my bed is not against the wall.
You know what, this just made me think of two things. Exactly, James, this is gonna be a whole growing up thing, but this is what I was gonna say. There's two things this made me think of, James. The number one thing is, what kind of touch you not feel comfortable with? You reminded me, like, I don't like when my partner just grabs my, like, even if I have pants on, like, you want with some lube when he's touching your clitoris or going inside of you. I just don't even want to be grabbed. Like, I don't want to be grabbed. I don't want my boobs to be grabbed. Like, unless we're like naked and fooling around, then I'm more into things. But if I'm not warmed up and we're going in blind and you just walk to my house, if you grab the grab of like grabbing my crotch, it just doesn't feel good. I don't like that. So that's a great thing. So first I was like, what don't I like? The other thing I just want to say about bedroom feng shui, which what you reminded me of, is that there is a theory, and I actually believe this, that you want to set up your, if you're single, for example, and you want to set up your environment in a way that's open and attracting, you know, if you believe in manifestation, which I do, I believe in thinking about what you want and the universe can deliver that, or the, if it's in your consciousness and you repeat it, it's going to happen. You tell people about it. It's your reality. But what about the bedroom? I remember hearing this years and years ago. It was like, if you're single and your room is, you know, a mess, and you have like only, and this is for people who are really serious about it, you have like one lamp and one nightstand, but the other side is against the wall, or you have nothing there, or one side of your bed's filled with clothes, or it's just your house, your home, and your bedroom is not set up for two, then how are you going to attract that person in your life? So once you kind of set that up for somebody else to come in, if you've been dating and you want to welcome someone, not just like when they get there, you hope it's ready to go. It's more of a mindset. It's more of a philosophy. It's more a way of living that like, I'm open for love. I'm open to finding romance. I'm open to great sex. So having your bedroom be a place that is opening and inviting when you're looking for someone. And you should also keep it that way always.
I love
you're dating
that.
Someone. Yeah, I do too. I think it's a good point. Because I've had times in my life where I've walked in my room and it's a mess. Like when I'm working a lot, it's busy. I'm like, this is not open. Like I'm not open to meeting someone, even I say that I am. That's not the only, but you know, when your life is out of control and crazy. So I like that too. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you like to masturbate? You know, I love this question. This is actually my suggestion for the article, asking your partner how they masturbate might seem like it's awkward or private, but you guys know that finding out how they actually please themselves is a roadmap to their pleasure. You're going to know, oh, I didn't, you know, they cup their balls with one hand when they're touching themselves, or she puts fingers inside of her. I had no idea. So understanding if they use a toy, are they on their stomach, or are they on their back, you can, you know, find out or watch them. Good old-fashioned mutual masturbation.
No, yeah, that makes it even more fun because you get to watch. And then you also, I mean, it's going to be hard not to touch yourself watching your partner touch themselves.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just like a win-win.
Yeah. It's a show and tell. You're leaning back, you're watching each other, and you're learning, and it's hot. So, ask them how they like to masturbate. And just assume, not do you, well, you can ask, do you masturbate? But I'm going to assume that most people do, or they should.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know I want you to. Okay. What's your hottest sexual fantasies? When you share your fantasies with the partner, you're really going to understand their erotic desires, what they're thinking about, what they desire, even if it's something they don't want in real life. Obviously, they're just going to answer things that they feel comfortable sharing with you. So, like, what do you fantasize about? What's your hottest erotic movie, we called it in my sex school, but, like, what's the thing that plays through your head when you're fantasizing, you're thinking about sex, like, what's happening? And it's funny, I remember in my class, there was a lot of women, and a lot of women's fantasies were around, which isn't surprising, you know, being taken. People had elaborate fantasies. I wish that I fantasized like this, but they have. I remember one woman was like, I'm in the ground and I'm part of Mother Earth. And there's all these hands on my body and they're like worshiping me. It's like men and women. And it's like they're in some kind of like garden, you know, like garden nymphs everywhere. Like she had this very elaborate thing. And then people were like touching her and then all of a sudden they had orgasms and like they disappeared into the ground and became part of the earth. Now, I don't have fantasies like that, but I think that... Yeah, talking about what turned you on.
Yeah, that sounds like...
I was impressed.
That's very impressive.
I know. I have another friend who, she has these fantasies, because I always ask my friends too. I'm like, what do you fantasize about? My friend's like, oh my God, well, I had this fantasy that I'm going, and she changes them all the time, and she's like a clothing designer, and she's very like elaborate. She's an artist, and she's like, well, she tells me what she's wearing. She's like, I'm going to like the New York Met. She lives in New York. She's like, I go to the Met and I'm wearing this red dress that goes to the ground and then I walk in and they hand me champagne. Like she has this whole scenario about how she's going in and then she meets this guy. You know, it's her husband, I think, or maybe it's kind of, she actually brought her husband into it. But like some other, so her husband walks in, what he's wearing and what they're drinking and what they're doing. I'm like, wow, that's like a long fantasy. She's like, no, that's like 2 minutes and I get there, like 30 seconds. She runs through like a whole very elaborate scenario about what happens. So whether they're short or long, or you just want to say you fantasize about a threesome?
Yeah. And then if you haven't really thought about any fantasies, you really haven't, like it's kind of beneficial to take some time and really think about what it is that would turn you on. Kind of think of it like free writing. You know, you just put the pen to the paper and just start writing, just not even thinking about it. Try to do that with your fantasies and just see where your mind goes. You might be really surprised what you're into.
Exactly. You don't, and feed it things too, because I didn't have, you know, I was late bloomer when it comes to stuff, but I just didn't think about it. I think I was, you know, had a stressful environment growing up, and my brain just shut down to it. But I had to feed it. I had to like start watching erotica and reading books and like getting into this world where I was like, I'm going to feed myself. So you're not broken. Nothing's wrong if you don't have any. So that's a great point, Jamie. Like, look for those fantasies, because we all know that having a rich fantasy life is very important to having a healthy sex life. Okay, this one, I haven't seen this for years, and I think I'm going to try this one, actually, because I'd like to know the answer from my guy, is what's been your, I talk about it, but I haven't talked to him about it. What has been your favorite moment from our sex life? This one is like maybe be a lot easier for people who are like, oh my God, I don't want to hear their fantasies. But saying like, babe, what's your most memorable night from our sex life? Like memorable moment in our relationship, sexually speaking, you know, what were we doing? Where were we? If they're thinking like, oh, you know, I love having sex on the beach. And say like, oh, really? What was it about like having sex on the beach? Because you're probably thinking like, let's go plan a vacation. But if they're like, oh, I love it when we almost got caught. Well, then you know, oh, maybe they have fantasies about like having sex outdoors, or they love that feeling of getting caught. So they want more outdoor sex, or they want to have more like, I don't know, getting caught in the hotel room. Who knows what people have? I do know. But okay.
No, this is a really good one. Because I know what my favorite sex moment from my sex with my partner currently, but I would be really curious to know what his was.
I do too. I want to know.
I'm definitely going to ask. I'll report back.
Please stay tuned, everyone. I think this is good, but because you get so many details, like I think you'd learn so much because you might not even remember their hottest moment, like what they think is the hottest moment.
Right. And then what if it's the same moment and then you're like, well, why aren't we doing that more?
We should do that all the time. Exactly. Find out a lot of information here. So another one is, what's something you've always fantasized about doing but you've never tried? I like this one too, because this is an easier entree here. Like, if you don't want to hear about fantasies, but just saying like, you know, specifically like, if these other ones seem more, I don't know, intense for you, just like, what do you fantasize about that you'd like to try? Because then you don't need to, you know, if they're like, oh, I feel like I've done everything I can, have a threesome if you want to pick up a stranger in a bar, you want to have blindfolded sex. You want to have
sex on dress the balcony.
Up like furries. Sex on the balcony is fun. I've done that on vacation. I love vacation. I mean, you know, I love vacation sex. I talk about it all the time. But it's true. Like a lot of my crazy like things, like sex on the balcony, sex outside, it's all on vacations. Because you don't. I mean, granted, it's illegal. I remember having sex like, where were we? Like in the south somewhere on a beach. Just like in college, but being on the balcony and being like, oh my God, you get caught, they kick us out.
Yeah. And then, I mean, if you have about, like, I was trying to think, I was like, because I have a balcony at my new apartment.
Ooh.
But I don't want to get kicked out of my new apartment. So.
Right. Maybe not day one. Is it facing the other tenants?
Yeah, it's facing the courtyard. However, we're going to put
a balcony. It's so fancy. You definitely need a nightstand. You even need a table that you could even sit on the balcony.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it should be illegal to have a balcony and no nightstand. So.
Exactly. And again, yeah, I like that one just because it's like more, it's low stakes.
Tangible.
Like, it's tangible. Here's another one. What part of your body are you the most proud of? So this is cool, you guys, because if they're proud of it and they're feeling good about it, they probably would like some attention to it and maybe like to hear compliments. Like, I love your hands. They're really sexy.
Or maybe like, I love the curves on your waist. Yeah,
exactly. What made you think so?
Or what if, you know, I'm like, hey, this is not how I actually feel. I really like my feet. You should rub them more or compliment them more. Kind of incorporate that into.
Yeah, it's a good way to get your needs met.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you've been wanting to have them massage your feet. You're like, I love my feet. That would be like a note to self. Like,
exactly.
I've never actually looked at your feet. I never thought about what part am I proud of. This wasn't my quote here.
Yeah.
This wasn't my idea, but I like it. Like, I think, again, you guys, I'm cool with you being like, I like that one because, God damn it, why does my partner ever touch my stomach? Because that really turns me on. Like, it's a good memory, you guys. It goes both ways. It's a great way to get both of your needs met.
Yeah.
So it's okay to ask a question that you're dying to answer as well.
That's a great way. Ask a question that you want to let your partner know.
Exactly.
Because so many times when you ask something, they're going to be like, well, what do you think? And then you get to answer it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you still should answer these two. Exactly. What do you think it goes back? And who knows, you guys? You just ask one of these questions and it could just kind of be that explosive sexual conversation you've been dying to have. Okay. Here's another one. If you could be totally selfish, what would a night of bliss look like to you? I like this too. This is a great way to describe a fantasy or what you want. Because then you kind of get deeper into desires and layers. And who knows, on their birthday, if you're thinking like, oh, I want something special, maybe you do this.
Mm.
I don't think things are really that crazy. Like, okay, I think I would think Night of Bliss. Keep thinking about probably being in a hotel somewhere. Because you just have to worry. Like a beautiful hotel with like a tub. I mean, this is very, like, amazing sheets. great food, massage. Toys are all charged and ready to go. Lots of lubes.
Sounds amazing.
I know. I massage. I want really long massages. I gotta do more massage with my guy. I'm gonna tell him.
Do it. Because
this is coming every time we do the show. I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta do that. You guys, so I might know a lot of this stuff, but I'm human. I'm in a relationship. What would a night of bliss look like to you?
I mean, all of that sounded great. I would be totally down for that. And just like a lot of oral sex. Like a lot of it.
Right.
All the time. Just like for hours.
Right.
I mean, with some breaks in between.
Exactly. You know, for water and stuff.
In a nice hotel, in every inch of the hotel.
Ooh.
So if we haven't done oral there, then we're going to do it. We're going to make sure all the furnitures, all the bathroom parts.
Exactly. Furniture, bathroom, that's good. Because this way, you guys, you're going to know, again, you know their desires, you know what they want, and you could even create some of it at home. Like maybe you don't have the tropical vacation if they mention that, but I think a lot of us think about vacation. It's so good because you're just that way. You don't have your, like, I'm not fancy about anything in my house necessarily, but outside of it. So, yeah, of course, a night of oral. That's another good way to hammer home your agenda. You've not been getting what you needed. I think about you know, slowly. I'm trying to think of the questions people ask the most. Like, oh, my night of bliss? Thanks for asking. It would be, you know, I love when you slowly undress me, when we make out for a long time. You know, it just, because I think people rush through kissing when they're in long-term relationships. So reinforce all of that. These are a lot of questions. Okay, here we go. What gets you in the mood the most? So this is similar to like your turn on, but again, these are different phrasing. So if you've been with someone for a while, we all know that sex does become routine and you have different sex drives. So if you understand your partner, how they like to approach sex and what really turns them on, like what gets them in the mood, this is a little bit different because mood is like I would say slow touching. I would say when you come in and we're like making out and you're not grabbing my crotch. You're not thinking he does it all the time, but like when we're like slow down and we're kissing and there's touch, like I require a lot of like slow, sensual touch. I like breath. I like breath in my ears. I like on my neck, kissing. What gets me in the mood? Just comfortable bed, like good music. I could really enforce the touching thing. It's when I'm relaxed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when you're completely relaxed.
I just want to be relaxed. I'm not in the... When I'm not relaxed, like, think about it. That's why we talk a lot about anxiety and all that. Like, you have to chill. Like, when we are anxious, we're not going to want to have sex.
No laptop or phones around.
Exactly. Right. Like, looking at Instagram does not turn me on. That turns me off. That's not turning me on. Or working. No. Last one. Are we having sex enough? I mean, I think that could be kind of leading because what if you've never talked about sex with your partner and they're like, no, but are yes? I mean, I think I would also add to this, maybe if you could change one thing about our sex life, what would it be? That's another way to do it because it's kind of more practical because I think a lot of couples do deal with mismatched libidos. You want sex more than your partner does. That's really common. So maybe they'll say, you know, are we having enough sex? If they say no, you're like, great, how can we get there? If they say yes, you could say, this is where you could lead to another question.
Yeah, it would lead into, like, if they say yes, but you are feeling like you're not, it could be a good time to just open up the conversation of what a good compromise would be of the amount of sex that you're having, or what things you can do to have them be in the mood more,
right?
Or why it, like, you know, maybe their sex drive is low, and figure out why is it stress, so what can you do to de-stress them, things like that.
Right. Could be like maybe you take your shower together in the morning, or maybe you like wake up earlier, or you squeeze one in on the weekend. Because if you keep thinking all week long, like we gotta have sex, like, you know, huge fan of scheduling sex, there's ways to figure it out. But it's good to find out if your partner's happy. You might be surprised what they say if they're having enough sex. You know, you might think you know the answer, but I think we're always surprised. That's why it's good to have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So any of those questions would be a great way to have a healthy conversation about sex and have the best sex possible, which is our goal. Right, Jame?
It is.
Okay, thanks, Jame. Okay, everyone, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting our sponsors. That's how we can keep doing the show for you for free. I appreciate it. We love our sponsors. We're going to take a quick break and come back with your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, guys, we are on to your questions. This is a call show. I love talking to you guys. It's awesome. If you want a question answered on the show, text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Fill out the short form. Put a yes if you'd like to be called. Or you can go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab. And as always, however you ask your question, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And always, if you're doing a call show or whatever, we don't care if you change your name. It's fine. We're cool with that. We just want to help. So thanks so much, you guys. Okay, this is Bethany, 29, from Nashville, and she wants sex, but not casual sex. Hey, Bethany, tell me what's going on. Thanks for calling.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Well, when I wrote you, I was like talking about a situation that happened maybe like a year ago, but I haven't had any like new situations since then. So it's kind of like, well, I guess I don't date that much, and I don't really know why. And it's rare that I have relationships. Like, I've had like one relationship in my whole life, and I'm 29.
Okay.
So I'm realizing now, looking back, that I'm like, I just like was totally clueless about how like the dating world, quote unquote, works. Like,
right.
Now I'm like watching these like YouTube channels of like these people like Elliot Scott. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's like giving tips to like women, like about dating and like how the mind of a man works, which sounds so like, might sound like trite or something, but
right.
It's really helping me and like enlightening me right now. I'm like, damn, I wish I saw this like a year ago. But basically I'm just, I don't know. Like, I just didn't know that it was like, I just didn't know how.
Well, tell me
worked.
What you learned.
Like,
give me an example of what made you go, damn, I didn't know that. Like, what are you learning? Tell me what you.
Right. So, I mean, there's this guy that I was talking to. He was like messaging me on Instagram, but acting like super, super interested. And I knew who he was. And like, it was like, we like liked each other's art and music and stuff. So it was like, we had like a resonance and it was like, oh, cool. We were like talking about it. And he was like, we should hang out. Like, I really want to hang out with you. And then we did hang out and it was like really good. And like, I thought that he was someone that was like worthwhile to like put time into. I don't know. I guess I just like liked him. And then he seemed to be really into me too. And was like super excited for like maybe like 3 weeks or something. And then kind of just like stopped texting me as often. And then I started realizing like, you know, like months into it, I'm like, oh, I really like him, but I guess he's only texting me like once every 2 weeks,
and
I was so like monkey mind about it. And then now this is like a year ago or something. And now I'm finding this, all these YouTube channels that are like, hey girls, this is what guys do. Like, they act really into you because they have to hook you in. And then they might be like trying to keep you using the bare minimum amount of effort, or like if you don't lay down the law or show them what your boundaries or standards are initially, then they're not going to like
respect you or something.
Treat you. Yeah, kind of. I just didn't know that there was all that was like a known
thing. I would
thing.
Stop watching all the channels. This is what I want for you. Not that that's not helpful, and I get it. Like, I wouldn't say stop. I'm saying that there is useful information for sure. If you haven't dated, like, listen to things, figure things out. But for you, you just haven't had a lot of experience dating. So I don't believe in all of these rules. Like, what I believe is that you, Bethany, it is figure out like who you, what you're looking for right now. And I think that the thing about dating is like what I would tell you is that you don't really know what's going on with the other person. Like, I would say that it's all about people date for a few weeks. So they, you know, they might be seeing a lot of people. Like, he might not be looking for whoever it is. He, like the grand, right? He's like dating a bunch of people, or maybe he got back together with his ex, or maybe he just wanted sex, or he has no time for a relationship. There's a million reasons why relationships don't work out. But women and men, we do this. We blame ourselves. So what did I do wrong? I shouldn't have invited him back to my house after the second date. That's why. Or why did I wear this skirt? You know, I should have worn pants.
Right.
You know, who knows? Like, we think of a million things he didn't like that, you know, he didn't like the dinner I made him. Like, we come up with all these things, and it's never what we worry about. It's never those things that we obsess about. So I think the most important thing is building your confidence around men and really just being comfortable, like making friends with guys and dating and just being like and understanding what you want right now. And I think it is true that everybody on date, like there is something fun when you're dating someone to kind of like, we don't know where it's going to go. But I think it's important to honestly know, like if you're just casually dating right now, you can let people know like, I'm just dating, or I'm looking for, you know, to hang out with people, or maybe you want a boyfriend. So if you do, like maybe you just date a few people at once and you let people know that, like, I am looking for something serious, but not right away, or I want to get to know you more. Like, I do think that people appreciate more information. And I think that even if you don't know, you can let them know that you're exploring it. Because I think rather than just kind of pretending that it's nothing and we're all being casual and what's going to happen, that's when we end up getting hurt and making up all these meanings to things that have no meaning. So I think you just got to get back out there. Like you said, you don't really know how to date. And I think like, this is the thing. You said you don't get asked out or you don't meet people. There's a lot of single people. Like, you're in Nashville. Like, there are single people everywhere. There's more single people now in America than ever. So I think the thing about where we don't meet people is because we don't put ourselves out there. Like, you take the same route home from work every day. You go to the same bar with your friends. Or you hang out with your same three friends. So how you start meeting people is saying yes to those invites. Like, maybe once a week, you say yes to that barbecue that you don't really like. Someone invites you on Facebook, you know, those invites, and you're like, you never look at them, but you're like, oh, I kind of like her. Maybe she'll have cool friends. Or you let people know that you know and trust family and friends that you're single. Like, if you know anyone, like, fix me up. So you start putting that energy out there. And you just start practicing talking to guys and people that you're maybe not even attracted to, but you just have that rapport so it's not so scary for you when you go out. You're like, how do I talk to a guy? And then it just becomes second nature. So I would say it's more about you and having confidence in yourself and your work and having a healthy life, having a rich, healthy, full life, I think, and being comfortable in yourself is the way that you start to meet people, because then you're coming from a good, solid place, and then you'll be attracting people who are like-minded rather than being like, it's a date. What does it mean? You know what I'm saying? This way, it's sort of part of what you're doing right now. You're working, you're seeing your friends, you're working out, you know, you're doing all these other things, and that's a part of it. It's not become your singular focus, because then dating happens as part of a lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think, well, do you have any other like questions around that? Cause I feel like I'm trying to get your question. Cause you're not that comfortable like dating. And I think that casual sex and stuff, like, I think you just kind of, casual sex isn't for everybody, you know, like casual sex. It's not like the rules to like society says you have to have it. Like, some people are just like, they don't like it, right? They're like, no, I can't handle not knowing if someone's going to call or not being intimate with someone and knowing that they were part of a relationship or that I can trust them. And for a lot of women, the best sex they have is when they're with someone they trust and they know they're going to see him or you're comfortable. But when we're not comfortable or it's new, we feel pressured, that's not when we have the best sex. So you might be someone who right now needs to know somebody. Like, you want to feel like you've gone out, you've had some experiences, and then you feel safe. And then you might even have casual sex and be like, it's still not for me. Or you might learn. Like, I've gone through ebbs and flows in my life where I'm into casual sex and then I'm not, and then I just had a relationship. But, you know, it just ebbs and flows. So right now, I would say maybe you don't even really know what works for you. So I would practice dating or saying yes to people that you wouldn't, they call it duty dating, but like saying yes to people that you wouldn't normally say yes to, finding who your type is, finding what you like doing with a guy. So kind of start from that place rather than making it about sex.
Damn. Yeah.
Damn, right?
Like,
just put your, do you have like, a lot, like, do you go out a lot? Do you do things that you, you know, what do you like doing? What's fun for Bethany?
I just moved here to this new city.
Okay.
So I'm just like working a lot. And then my coworker like invited me to a show she's performing at tonight.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I don't know if I'm going to go. And then when you're saying that, I was like, damn, you know, maybe
see?
I should.
I'm telling you, you should go. Because whenever I've not wanted to go to something just because I'm tired and I'm home from work and I make myself go, like I've been in periods of life where, and like they come and go where I'm like, no, I got to be more social. So if you said you were going to go, just go. And I feel like 99% of the time, I do not regret going out. Like,
for
I'm
sure.
just like, I'm glad I went. You might meet some really cool friends. Yeah. You just moved to a new city. So it's kind of exciting. Like you're probably looking for female friends, male friends, everything. So these are the experiences where you meet people. Yes, you can use the apps and all that, but I think actually being comfortable in the new town, and it's exciting. Like it's exciting to move to a city in your 20s where you don't know anybody. Like I did that and it was like the most time. Like I look back on that and I'm like, how you get to reinvent yourself. You get to like, you know, where you're at in your life right now. So I would think about, I would kind of, like I said, work on developing a really rich life right now. Like a healthy life,
with,
surrounded by good people, and it's just going to happen for you. Because you don't have any problems, you know? It's not real problems. It's an exciting time in your life. So I think go to the show tonight, have a good time, talk to people, make yourself. Like if you're like, I'm just going to sit here, just like, I'm going to go say hi. And that's when you get those charges. Yeah. Like that's the connection. Like that's what life's about. Those real moments with people. Not swiping through apps.
Yeah.
That's a good supplement. Yeah. But real life experiences are good for you.
True. How do you like, I feel like I'm like, want to like have intimacy with people, but I guess I just like have to wait because I have to like know if I can trust them.
Oh, because you're one of sex. Yeah. I mean, no, I'm not saying you have to. Maybe you try it and you're like, oh, that didn't work for me. There are no rules here. You get to decide your own rules. Like I know people like, so everyone gets sets up their own rules. So, you know, if you decide you want sex, you can go out and find sex. You know, you get to decide. Like some people are like, I just had sex and I get to, because we get to decide. Like you can decide if you don't want to call someone as well. So I think just meet that person. And then in the moment you can decide, what do I want? Not the other way around. You know what I'm saying? Like there's some people who are like, I've been having casual sex for 2 years and it doesn't feel good. I'm like, okay, here's your practice. Go out with someone and don't sleep with them for a month, right? But you're not in that position right now. I don't know what you're like, Bethany. I don't know. So you might not know either. So you might find someone in the next few days you like and you want to go out with them again. And maybe this weekend you guys will make out. Who knows? So I don't think you should be so hard on yourself. I think you should just trust your gut and your feelings and check in with yourself. How does it feel? And like, yeah, I think it's probably better to take things slow and get to know someone. But, you know, if you don't, just and you sleep with someone, see how that makes you feel. You never know. A lot of things work for everybody. But what I'm saying for you is we don't know yet. So just keep checking in with yourself and just go out and meet some people. That's a great way to meet. I've met a lot of my guys, a lot of people I've dated are through other friends and shared experiences.
Definitely. I mean,
okay.
I guess my, like, I'm like, I, well, like with the person that I was talking about earlier, like it did feel like super right. And then I ended up being like,
let me tell you why I wasn't right. I'm going to tell you this and I have to let you go. Let me tell you why I wasn't right. Because you were new at dating. You said he was dating you, texting you every 2 weeks. So for a lot of people, that wouldn't feel right. I'd be like, where'd you go? Like 2 weeks? Like to me, it's like, you know, like you want to talk more often. So there probably were signs there. Like when you were with him, it was probably great. But then, you know, maybe you got busy in your life. But I would say there were probably signs that it wasn't perfect in the sense of like, you probably, there were signs that he was seeing other people or that was going to drop off. You know what I'm saying? So let that experience go from a year ago. Cause it sounds like we tend to hang on to our last experience that was the most intense.
Mm-hmm.
So let's let go. You're new Bethany in a new city. Go out tonight. I think you're weighing your head about this. And I just want you to go out and have fun, make new friends, figure out where you love to go. People love meeting new people. Like it's so fun. You know, you're just bringing yourself to the table and you're going to start to like meet new people and have new experiences, and then everything else is going to follow. So don't trip on this last guy and what it meant. People are doing a whole bunch of different things right now when you meet them. You never know. So I don't think that means anything. Okay? You okay, got this, yeah. Bethany. Just go out and figure out who you are. Okay?
I will. Thank you, Emily.
Yes, you're so welcome, Bethany. Let me know how it goes. You got this. Have fun tonight. Go out, okay? Leave your house now. Okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going
to. Go shower. Get out the door. You'll be so happy, I promise you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Emily.
Okay, bye. But you're so welcome, sweetie. You got this. Have a good night. Bye. I wanted to get to the bottom of that because I knew that like we're holding on to things and we're so in our heads. But I'm telling you guys, just getting out there, letting people know you're single. It's not that like people don't like you or you're broken. I just think that's how you meet people, is being involved, having a rich life. Like, and what I mean by that is like doing things outside of work. We're all tired at the end of the day. It's so much easier to go home and watch TV than it is to go out and meet people. But I'm telling you, once you do it, and once you start to say, once a week, I'm going to have this experience, I promise you, that's how you build your social circle. That's how you're going to meet people you're into. And that's what people find attractive too, is people who have a lot going on in a real, genuine way, not in like a fake way. Like you got to build yourself up. But like people who love life are attracting people who also love life and are attracted to that energy. So be the person you want to find. Okay, we have Matt. He's 30 from New Zealand, and his girlfriend is stressed and hasn't had sex in a while. Hey, Matt in New Zealand. I'm so glad you called.
Hey, Emily. Hey. Nice to hear you. And nice to be on the show.
I'm so glad you're here. So many listeners in New Zealand and Australia. It's awesome. I love that we get to talk and I can help you. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we've been together for a couple of years now. It's always been pretty great, but I guess in the last sort of 8 months or so, she's gone through a bit of a change. You know, her father was a little bit sick for a bit. She got made redundant. We moved cities, so it's just a bit stressful for her. And she actually expressed to me that her, you know, the sex life is the thing that goes first, I guess, when she's super stressed.
Oh, okay, right. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense too. It's true though, when we're stressed and anxious about money and job, yes, and we lose our sex drive.
Exactly, and I do. I remember you saying that as well, and so I didn't really want to, you know, pressure her into anything or, yeah.
So this just happened in the last few months? She's not really been to sex, or how long?
I reckon probably, it'll be coming up probably 6 months or so. So it feels like a long time.
Yeah, no, that
it feels
is a long
like,
time.
You know, how you kind of almost forget about how to initiate it,
right,
or, you know, figure out if they're interested or, you know, things like
right,
that.
Right, right. Does she, is she feeling better now though, or is she still stressed out? Is she still in like, does she seem depressed or is she anxious or?
She has said to me that she deals with a bit of anxiety, and I feel like it's getting better. I do feel like it's starting to slowly get better, but I think she's definitely going in and out of a bit of anxiety. And
have you guys talked about it? Have you talked to her about this at all and said you really care about her and you want to make sure you guys can, you know, be intimate again?
Yes, not as much as we probably should, but we definitely have talked about it. We are quite open and we do talk about this sort of stuff every now and then, but, you know, life kind of gets in the way and all
that kind of thing.
Yeah. I was just wondering kind of other ways to.
I think you got to talk. Oh, to tell it, see if she's interested or not. Well, how did you used to do in the past? Like when you guys first, I know, I guess in the very early stages, we all just want to have sex all the time in the early stage of a relationship, right? Yeah. Like there's no question. Right? Yeah. Like you walk in the door and your clothes are off in 2 minutes. I get that. But right now, like, do you know what used to, because I'll answer this question, but I also think that it's going to go back to talking. So, but are there things like, were there certain foreplay, like, does she like massage? Like, have a foot massage at the end of the day or like when you bring home dinner or does she like going out? Like, have you guys had dinner lately or have you gone to movies or, you know what I mean? Are there things that you guys have fun together doing? Because when you're at home and you're doing the same things, that can get, you know, kind of routine.
True. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, she loves a good massage. I know she's mentioned in the past, like she's quite used to being like, you know, quite, you know, I think she, you know, really loves the, obviously all women love a bit of foreplay, but she likes the, you know, heaps of touch and loves to introduce, you know, feathers and I think she's used to being the kind of more dominant one in the bedroom.
She's more dominant.
I think so. Okay. Yeah, she's told me this. So I haven't actually experienced this, but I've heard her talk about it. And she's sort of said to me that she doesn't know how I would I guess, react to it. Or
right.
Yeah, I think she maybe wants more from me.
Yeah.
In terms of a reaction and seeing a bit of this things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Matt, this is all okay. This is great information. So it sounds to me like this is what you need to do, is that you got to just have a conversation. Like, you got to say, babe, I love you. I really want to talk about our it's so important that we continue to connect and have sex life, have great sex, and I miss having sex with you. What can we do together? Like, I'd love to try whatever you want. Like, I like telling couples to like exchange a sexy bucket list or what you both are wanting to try. You could say, you said you were dominant in the past. That might be kind of sexy. Let's try it. I've got, you know, you could use a necktie. You could use a feather laying around the house, or you could go to a sex toy store together and go shopping or buy some things online. But this is what I tell you, Matt, this is so true that you said you talk about it sometimes. And what I want you to realize is that the more you talk about it, number one, the easier it gets. So the more it's like, even if it's every other day, like you talk about what to eat for dinner, that's how your sex life can be, because you're both sharing an experience together. So you both need to talk about it. Like, where are you going on your vacation? What are you doing for dinner? Let's talk about our sex life. And so because you've talked about it maybe three times in the last 6 months, like, not enough, right? Like, when you see her tonight or when you see her today, like, I miss having sex with you. Like, I know you've been going through stuff. I've been going through stuff trying to figure out what you need. Like, let's just talk about it. You can say to her, what's your most memorable time that we've had sex? And she might say, that time where you came in late and I, you know, blindfolded you, or you blindfolded me, or who knows what it is. But then you're going to learn what turns her on, or ask her what she masturbates, what she thinks about, or you guys could watch some porn together. Like, I feel like you guys have to build an erotic life together. And that you're kind of guessing because you're, you know, you care about her and you're being sensitive to what she's going through. But you guys, like, you don't have to solve this on your own. That's what I'm trying to drive home. Like, you guys are in it together. And if you're guessing that there's things that she wants you to try, you guys have been together for 2 years. So it's time to stop kind of trying to figure it out and have a straightforward conversation. It's going to get so much easier, and you're not going to believe that you didn't do this before, because that's how you're going to figure this out.
Great.
Because you both want the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. And I know it's scary, but when you do it like outside the bedroom, like at dinner, when you're having breakfast, you just bring it up. You're like, let's talk about sex. What's going on? What can we do? From a very like, don't make it a serious conversation. Make it playful and fun, because it's sex. Sex should be fun, and bring that, infuse that into the relationship. Yes. If you start the conversation that way, it's going to help it, you know, be favorable to both of you, whatever you guys decide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Yes, great advice.
And, okay, good. All right. You got
this
then.
So
just start
much,
talking.
Emily.
Okay, you're so welcome,
Appreciate
Matt.
That.
Have a great day. It's my pleasure.
Too.
Thanks. Bye, Matt. It's fun, you guys. I get it that talking about sex seems so painful, and we think we do it because we did it once every 3 months, because we know how hard it is and we remember that last conversation. But I'm telling you, the more you do it, the easier it gets. You just kind of like ripping off a Band-Aid. Like, literally, like, babe, I know this is weird. We don't often talk about our sex life, but let's talk about it. And believe me, if you're both in a loving relationship, you're in it together, it's for both of your interests, and you want to be the partner who can contribute and talk about it, so you guys can continue to have healthy sex. Communication is a lubrication. This is Camilla. She's 23 from the Bay Area, and she needs a sensitive lube for vaginal sex and anal sex. Hi. I'm so glad you called.
Me too. I have been wondering about this for some time because I'm very sex positive, and I know that even though I can make good lube myself, I'm trying to improve my anal game, so I've been out there looking for a lube, and just everything hurts.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so no matter...
How does it hurt? Like, are you having
itch? A lot of it.
Tell me what kind of... How does it hurt? Explain to me the hurt.
So it's almost like inflamed, like my insides are on fire, and that's really the best way that I can put it. And so I took your recommendation and contacted my doctor, and she said that there are different synthetics in lubes.
It's true.
That can actually destroy your vaginal flora, and I didn't know that it could also harm your anus, too, or that it could hurt.
Yeah, it can hurt. Do you ever have pain at all during sex besides the lube? Like, is there ever any pain that happens?
No.
Okay.
No, and that's why it's strange to me. That's why I pinpointed the lube to be the problem.
Okay.
Except anal sex is a little painful. That's why I wanted to have the lube, so that we can have a little bit more assistance, because, you know, that part doesn't get as wet.
Okay. Well, let me tell you here. So I know that you tried a bunch of different lubes. Now, have you tried silicone lube?
No, I haven't tried silicone lube, but I actually found a natural lube that has no synthetics in it, and I've been using it for a full week now and have had no pain.
Oh, okay. That's all. What kind is it?
It's called Sliquid.
Oh, yeah. Sliquid is great. I really like Sliquid. Sliquid Organics makes a great lube. I'm a fan of theirs. So that's great. I was going to recommend you because even when I started my show 13 years ago, people were really against silicone lubes. But the truth is, I love Uber Lube. It's a silicone lube and it just has one or two ingredients in it. And for a lot of people, it's a great choice, especially for anal sex. So I love Uber Lube.
Okay.
And the other thing I was going to tell you is Foria, which is a CBD, like a pre-lube. It's called Foria, Foria, and it's basically like a CBD lube, and it can help with pain. It relaxes your vagina. It's all plant-based and it's all natural ingredients. Right. It's coconut oil, whole plant extracts, cacao, kava, vanilla, coconut, hemp, mint, ginger. So Foria, they can.
I love it.
Yeah. So I would check those, but I'm glad you found something right now because it is true. Not all lubes are, you know, the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then anal can be painful, but you got to breathe. What'd you say?
I thought it was. I thought, oh, just get Joe Lube, get a lube off the counter. Everything's great. I tried the organic lube, the regular lube, and nothing worked until I pinpointed the ingredients in the lube.
That makes sense. No, I'm glad you did because I do like Sliquid. That is great. So stick with that. And then try, you know, Foria is great
too.
Thank you so
much.
Yeah, you're
so
welcome.
And the silicone lube too and Foria.
Yes, exactly. Check them out. See what you like. It's like everything.
I love their website. I just finished your podcast this morning about it.
Oh, you did? Oh, about Foria. Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan. We've been getting so many emails from listeners who are like, oh my God, it changed everything. So, you know, it helps with the relaxation.
Thank
okay,
so
good. Yeah.
Me.
You're so welcome. Have a great day. Bye, Camila.
Thanks. You too.
Bye. That was a great reminder, guys. It is so true. Like, I talk about a lot of different things on the show, lubes and toys, but we all have to figure out what feels good to us. So I'm so glad you guys are asking the questions and talking to our doctors, and every single body is going to react differently to different things. You know, my dream is a lube on every nightstand. You just need to find the lube that works for you because I'm a fan of using lube for every kind of sexual activity. Okay, this is Lee. She's 33 from New Jersey, and she used to be able to orgasm, but now can only orgasm in her sleep. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for calling in. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much summed it up. I have been in a happy marriage for 11 years now. Yeah, we've always had great sex, but over the last 11 years, I have not been able to climax completely with him, or really at any point on my own or with him, beyond being totally asleep in dream world and then waking up from
okay.
an orgasm.
And this has been in the last 11 years, this has been the case, or just recently, you said,
no,
or always, the whole time?
Basically since the very beginning of when we were dating, I was able to.
Okay.
And even a little bit into our marriage. And then it seemed like just very shortly after we got married,
okay,
everything stopped.
Got it. Okay, so let me ask you a few questions. Are you taking any medication? Like antidepressants?
I've taken birth control off and on over these years. And then I was pregnant and went through labor, all of that, 3 times.
Okay,
so,
3 kids, 11 years of marriage. Okay, you've been busy. All right, so birth control pill. Okay, got it. So birth control, but that's really it. Have you ever changed up your birth control?
I've always been on the NuvaRing.
Okay. Honestly, birth control pills could have an impact, but I feel like there's something else, because here's the good news, Lee, is that you're able to orgasm. Like, you're able to have, you know, experience pleasure.
I know.
So have you, okay, I'm sure that you probably don't get a ton of alone time. We have 3 kids. But get to, you know, masturbate? Like, I know you said you've tried, but have you really, like, are you using toys? And are you trying just once? Are you trying for a little bit? Because it's really getting your body back into that muscle memory of masturbating again. So tell me about your masturbatory experience.
Right. It's something I never really did much of early on. It just wasn't something that ever came naturally to me, or it's just never something I thought of. It was like sort of an afterthought. And it's actually my husband that got me interested in it at all. He bought me toys and was always just kind of saying, like, go ahead, go try some things, you know, do what you need to do. But I've only, like, in the last 2 or 3 years tried to start doing that. And I think you're right. I I probably don't make quite enough time for myself to figure to do that. I've definitely tried a couple of different things, and I'm not like opposed to it, but I don't really know where to start.
Said that he in foreplay, is he like warming you up? Are you in the mood after you guys start making out and stuff? Okay, and do you feel yourself getting there and then you stop, or you're just not? Are you turned on during sex? Okay.
No, I absolutely like warm up. I'm totally into it. We get all the way to that point all the time. And so I constantly feel like I'm right there, like about to hit the edge.
And then what happens? Can you tell me what happens? Is there a thought that pops in your head? Do you have that thought it's not going to happen and then it doesn't?
I think I will it so much. Like, I'm just like, okay, here it comes. Yes, yes, yes. And then nothing. It just doesn't happen. Right. So I'm not sure if my like thoughts are getting in the way or not. I always feel like I'm given enough time.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel rushed.
Right.
There's nothing like that. I definitely think my brain has something to do with it. You know?
Yeah, our brain does. Even the brain, even the part of you that's saying, oh my God, you're so close, that's still you, right? So I feel like that's your pattern that you're in, and you're probably in your brain are going, it's close because you want it to happen so bad, and in your brain, I hope it happens. So I have a few suggestions for you. I would say, since your husband seems really cool and he's into it and he's, you know, giving you time, and I would say a few things. You could just have it so you guys focus when you have sex, it's more about your orgasm. So you could just like take intercourse off the table and have him like not be about penetration, but I want you to experience an orgasm again while you're awake. And so I want you to have the confidence that it can happen. So the few things are childbirth, Kegel exercises are so important. And I totally understand they're hard to remember to do, but it's responsible for your orgasm after childbirth. Like your pelvic floor is weakened. So have you done your Kegels at all? Because you could buy Kegel. I can give you Kegel hacks too. So just tell me if you've been working on that, because that helps.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like that's something I have done since pregnancy, no.
Okay, so here's a few things. I want you to buy, if this would help you, maybe I have an iPhone app. Do you have an iPhone by chance?
No, I don't.
Okay, because it's an iPhone app called Kegel Camp, but other people make Kegel apps. So but the other thing is, I would tell you to buy, do you work out at all?
When walk? I can, yeah.
Okay, because one of my greatest things that helped me is that I buy Kegel balls, and WeVibe makes something called the Bloom, and you put it inside of you, and I wear them. I wear these Kegel balls when I go into the gym, when I walk around the neighborhood, because your body is, so I don't even think to do my Kegel. I mean, sometimes I use my app, which is called Kegel Camp, and it reminds you twice a day. But if you put it on your phone as a reminder, and you wear it in the morning when you're folding laundry, when you're driving to, I don't know if you're working, or whatever you do, you can say, I'm going to put it in, because our bodies are naturally tensing them, so they're not going to fall out, right? So they're naturally working them by moving around the house or going to see a friend for lunch. So just wearing them will strengthen them. Or if you can remember, you tense and relax them for 5 minutes a day. It's those pee-stopping muscles, because those are the muscles that are responsible for orgasm. So after three kids and you're young, you're 33 years old, I mean, your pelvic floor just might be weakened. And the thing is, we draw more attention to that area. When you do your Kegels, you have to breathe. So my one step is strengthening. These are what you have to do on your own. Do your Kegels. If you do it like four times a week, 5 minutes a day, I'm telling you, in a month, you're going to feel so much stronger. And those are the same muscles that you tense and relax, or you flex when you're having orgasm or you want to get more turned on. So that'll help. And then also, if you're not going to masturbate on your own, it's just not your thing, you're busy, next time you have sex, have it be about your orgasm. So he's going down on you. Maybe you're using a toy again. Do you have a good clitoral toy that you like using?
Honestly, I'm just like unfamiliar with a lot of things. I just have a good, two good vibrators. One that's kind of like super strong and intense. And then one that's like kind of really soft and
I would try the soft one and then build up. Okay, so I would try the soft one and I would use lube. First of all, lube, so important. You have to use lube because we just don't get lubricated as much. And use some lube. Have him use the toy on you, like, or you could guide his hand. Try it at the soft setting and then build up like this. And then I would say, like, have it be if he uses his fingers or his mouth and a toy without a time limit. And I just want you to have that orgasm first without intercourse. And then you guys could also, and if that makes you feel bad, you're like, I want him to come. Obviously, you could have sex when it's over, or you can both mutually masturbate together. So you like, you know, like, we are in this together. I'm going to figure it out. But I don't want you to put the pressure on yourself. This might take you a month or two of like just trying to masturbate. But I feel like I want to bring this back. If it's been 11 years, you know, since it's happened, I mean, here's all the good news. You're having sexual thoughts. You're having orgasms when you're sleeping. You know that you can have orgasms because you had them before you got married or when you started dating and before you had kids. So really it's like muscles you haven't used. It's like rebuilding this sexual response and feeling into your body again. And I really think my number one thing is breathing, like deep breathing when you're having, don't hold your breath. So breathe into it.
Yeah.
And every time you start thinking, oh, here it comes, or is it not coming? Go back to your breath, like in and it's going to take practice because our mind just take over. So I think it's about relaxing, taking baths, getting yourself ready for sex. So watching porn, like getting, even taking a bath and feeling good in your body and like having prep where the door's locked, you're lighting candles. Like to me, the senses are just really important. So it's like if you have a good candle and you have music playing and like you can just link into your breath and then like, oh, the candle smells good or the music I'm hearing. So you're not in your thoughts because the second we start paying attention to everything we're sensing, we can't be thinking because I believe it's in your head and there's nothing wrong with you. How's that?
So no, that's a good news. I don't think there's anything wrong with me. That's definitely something, something definitely off with, and you know, with having kids and a full-time job and all of that. It's a lot to manage. It's a lot.
Honey, I don't know how people really, full-time job and three kids and your sex life. So wear them to work then. Like, I know that seems silly. No one has to know, but there's a lot of different Kegel balls online. You can try them out. But for me, they're like weights. No, it's like wearing a tampon.
Yeah,
like
I've never even heard of those. It's so not, do some Googling right
check
after
them out. Like, there's some good brands that make them. You can see, like, they're weighted, and it just became like a ritual. And I'm not, you wear them for like an hour or two at work. You take them out, you put them in plastic bag. Like, no one needs to know, but just the act of wearing them. So, I think breathing, Kegels, taking the pressure off yourself, using lube, and telling your husband that what we talked about and having him get on board with this because he wants you to have pleasure as much as I do and as much as you do.
Yeah, oh, totally. He's more on board than I am most of the time. So but he's the one getting me more interested in improving things. So good.
I love it. Well, just think about this. I love that you called out. It's really good self-care and you're going to get there. So it's important.
Thanks so
and once much. You get there, it's going to be a lot easier. Let me know what happens.
Yeah.
Bye, Lee.
Have a
good day. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye. I love these questions about women and orgasm because I think we can all relate. Many women can relate to the fact that when we don't have a lot of sex or we're not masturbating, it can take a little while to get back into the game. Just like working out, adopting a healthier lifestyle, eating healthy, bringing your lunch to work. I mean, all these little things are little micro habits working out. And so the same thing goes for your sex life. So taking the pressure off yourself, and the more that we masturbate, the more we're going to want to masturbate. It's true. Your orgasms are there. The elusive orgasm is real, but masturbation and breathing is the key to getting you back. That was fun. Do you guys love the call shows as much as I do? I just love talking to you guys. It's so fun. It's like we're all in this together. So thanks everyone for listening and for being here and telling your friends about the show and supporting the show. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.